The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it is officially Championship Sunday. We have us, who would have thought our AFC Championship game was going to be the New England Patriots at the Denver Broncos, and our NFC Championship was going to be the Los Angeles Rams at the Seattle Seahawks. I don't think a lot of us had any four of those teams up there towards our end of the season predictions, especially teams like New England and Seattle. I don't think New England and Seattle were on anybody's radar this year. Denver, maybe. The Rams, yes, just because, you know, the Rams, they've got Stafford. You know, real talk, you got Stafford, you're good to go. But for the most part, I don't think any of us had this as our Championship Sunday matchup. So let's get right into it, beginning with the AFC Championship game, the New England Patriots at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Patriots are a 5-point favorite. Now, of course, that is because starting quarterback Bo Nix will not be playing in this game. Since he broke his ankle in the last game, he is not going to be in this game. And if they go into the Super Bowl, he will not be playing in the Super Bowl either. So it does look like that he'll be good to go for the beginning of next year. But that means we're going to have a backup quarterback playing for the Denver Broncos, and that is Jarrett Stidham. He has, he's just been a backup for his entire career, so that's pretty much what he's going to be doing. But I will say, the thing about the Denver Broncos is they have an excellent defense, and they are a very well-coached team by Sean Payton. And the thing about the Patriots, not a very good offense. And that's really, you know, last week they put up a lot of points, but I just don't think they're that good of an offense. And they just, they're defensively, they're excellent. But they just, there's just something about them where I just have not believed in them. I still don't believe in them. And even though the Broncos are coming into this one with a backup quarterback, that really doesn't matter to me. I think this is going to be a huge defensive battle. I think both defenses are going to put it on both of the offenses. And I think it's going to actually be a struggle for either team to really score, especially touchdowns. I kind of feel like this is going to be a field goal-led type of game where both teams are just going to really be kicking for field goals, and that's about it. But with that being said, I'm actually leaning towards Denver in this one. I know a lot of people are counting them out because of the backup quarterback situation. And yeah, that is a big deal. But at the end of the day, this Denver Broncos defense has been carrying them all season. Yeah, Bo Nix, good quarterback. He's not the best quarterback in the league, though. It's not like he's playing MVP caliber quarterback play. And I had my questions with Bo Nix at quarterback. Now, of course, ideally, you don't want to come in to this game with your backup quarterback, but that's the name of the game. And lucky for the Broncos, they knew off of the bat, right after they won their game, they knew Bo Nix was not going to be playing in this game. So that Jarrett Stidham has been preparing all week. So if they prepare him right, they're going to win this game, because like I said, New England's offense, not very good. Denver's offense, not very good, but both very good defenses. So don't be shocked if either defense maybe scores a touchdown. I really won't be shocked if we see some turnovers here from either defense. And but I do think Denver's going to get the win in this one. I think Jarrett Stidham's going to step up. I don't think it's going to be reliant on him. I think this game is going to be all defense both ways. But on the offensive side of the ball, I kind of feel like Denver is just going to rely on the ground attack, which, you know, they don't have the greatest ground attack in the league, but they also don't have the worst. I just think they have enough to get the job done. And I've got the Denver Broncos winning 20-16 in this matchup. Then we have the NFC Championship game, the Los Angeles Rams versus the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are a 2.5-point favorite. Of course, they split their two matchups this season. Very, very close matchup. So I'm expecting this to be a fun game. Seattle, this is an extremely complete team. Defensively, they are tops in the league. They are so good. They cause turnovers. They get at the quarterback. They are just a really, really damn good defense. Then you turn to the offensive side of the ball. They have their moments, bad and good. But for the most part, they've got a good, solid ground attack. They've got one of the best wide receivers in the league with JSN. And Sam Darnold, he's good enough to get stuff going. You know, he's not the greatest quarterback in the league, but he is most certainly not the worst. But you look at their special teams, and Rashid Shaheed has turned out to be probably one of the best trade deadline moves you will ever hear about in the history of the National Football League, simply because this guy, not only did he have a run back for a touchdown last week, but he has had so many good plays to set up this offense with run backs. It's just nuts. And so if I'm the Rams, who have a terrible special teams, they better have their head on a swivel when it comes to Rashid Shaheed. That's all I'm saying. But other than that, you know, I mean, this is going to be a battle. Because you look at the Rams are no slouch team. We got Matthew Stafford here, who is one of the top quarterbacks in the league. He is not turning the ball over a lot. And he's just had a fantastic MVP caliber year. Then you've got his weapons, Puka Nacua having a fantastic year. You've got Devontae Adams having a fantastic year. You've got Kyren Williams having a fantastic year. And you've got Blake Corum actually having a fantastic year. So he's got tons of weapons on the offensive side of the ball. The offensive line is actually blocking pretty well this year. And their defense is young and scrappy, and they get the job done. I mean, they made some huge, huge, huge plays last week, especially on a fourth down. It was a fourth and goal, and they four back-to-back plays. This defense was able to hold it down. So do not overlook this Rams defense, Seattle. Now, here's the thing. I trust the Rams more in this situation. When I made my playoff predictions at the beginning of the playoffs, my Super Bowl pick is the Denver Broncos versus the Los Angeles Rams. So both of my teams are here in the championship game, so I have to take them. That's just how I roll. So I am taking the Rams, but I definitely think this is going to be a crazy game. But I have a feeling this is what it's going to be. I think it's going to be close the first half, and then I think the Rams are going to start to pull away in the third and the fourth quarter. And really, I think they're going to make the big plays. I wouldn't be shocked if Sam Darnold kind of has a meh type of game. Just because, you know, the Rams have been his kryptonite. Last year, he played a terrible game against them when he played for the Vikings in the playoffs. He got his ass kicked. And then both games he's played against them this year, not very good games. One, he had four interceptions in. The other, he did have a couple of touchdowns, but he also had two turnovers as well. So it's, what are you going to get from Sam Darnold in this one? And I just, like I said, I trust the Rams more in this one. I don't care that it's a road game. This is a division battle. Both teams know each other so well that it just doesn't really matter who even has the edge anywhere. And just to me, I trust the Rams more. I think they are the better team. And I picked them to win the Super Bowl. So, of course, I'm going with the Los Angeles Rams in this one. I'm going with the Rams 31-20. I just kind of feel like it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think we're going to see Matthew Stafford and Sam Darnold battling it out. But who do I trust more between the two of them? Matthew Stafford, of course. So I'm going the Rams 31-20. So we'll see how this weekend ends up. We'll see who is playing for Super Bowl 60 on Monday's show, and I'm super excited about it. But either way, I feel like we're getting some really good games this weekend in the AFC and NFC championship games. All right, let's move on to basketball and the week of basketball that we had here. Beginning on Monday night, we had a great game in the Eastern Conference between the Detroit Pistons and the Boston Celtics. Detroit barely got the win, 104-103. Tobias Harris had 25 points, Cade Cunningham had 16 points and 14 assists. And this was just an all-around great game from the Detroit Pistons, but the Boston Celtics just maintained it and were able to just stay in it. But they just, actually, Brown just fell short on the game-winning shot on this one. So Detroit ended up walking away with the win, 104-103. Then also on Monday night, we had the Golden State Warriors. They got a big win over the Miami Heat, 135-112. Unfortunately, this is not about the win. This is about Jimmy Butler ended up tearing his ACL in this game and he is done for the rest of the season. But the good news in this game, Steph Curry had 19 points and 11 assists, and Podziemski had 24 points, but they're definitely, I would not be shocked if we see the Golden State Warriors make some type of move at the trade deadline for somebody now that Butler is out, because that takes a huge, you know, Butler wasn't their dude, Steph is still their dude, but Butler had, he was a huge source of offense for them, and this just kind of takes away from them, and we'll see what happens with the Golden State Warriors. But that was a big deal for them to lose Jimmy Butler on Tuesday or on Monday night. Then on Tuesday, the Phoenix Suns took down the Philadelphia 76ers 116 to 110, and the Suns are the hottest team in the league right now, and that is all because of Devin Booker. Devin Booker had 27 points in this one, and he has just been balling uncontrollably. But just unfortunately for him, that's kind of how the Suns are. Right now they're up, but they're probably going to be down here in the next couple of weeks because that's just kind of how they do. But right now they're riding high, and they took down a pretty solid Philadelphia 76ers team. Then the Houston Rockets had a battle between the San Antonio Spurs, but they held on to this one 111 to 106. At one point in this game, the Houston Rockets were down by 16 points. But they went off, and they were able to hang on to it in the end. KD had 18 points, 7 assists. Shane Goon had 20 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists. And Amen had 16 and 10 rebounds. So it was a big night from the big three on the Houston Rockets, and they got a big win over a big San Antonio Spurs team. Then the Los Angeles Lakers took down the Denver Nuggets 115 to 107. Luka had a huge game. Kind of feels like every game, though, Luka's been having a huge game. He had 38 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. LeBron had 19 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. And Marcus Smart had 15 points as well. In a dominating win by the Lakers that they definitely needed over a good Denver Nuggets team. Even though they did not have Jokic, this Nuggets team is playing some excellent basketball. And so that was a huge win for the Lakers. Then on Wednesday, the New York Knicks got their biggest margin of victory in their entire history of the New York Knicks. They took down the Brooklyn Nets 120 to 66. Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets were only able to muster up 66 points against not a very good Knicks team, because the New York Knicks are not riding high right now. As a matter of fact, they're riding low. They're playing terribly, but they needed this 54-point win. And like I said, it is their most lopsided victory in the history of the Knicks franchise. But the Brooklyn Nets, what the hell was that? And I was looking at the stat line, too. They were lucky that any of their starters even hit 10 points on that night. So that was a very pathetic game for the Brooklyn Nets against a reeling New York Knicks team. Then also on Wednesday night, we had the Detroit Pistons take down the New Orleans Pelicans 112 to 104. That is Detroit's fourth win in a row. And Jaren Duran had a monster game, 20 points, 15 rebounds. And Cade Cunningham actually sat in this one. So it was all Duran all night, and he had zero issues with it. Also on Wednesday night, Oklahoma City busted one out. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks 122 to 102. SGA, 40 points. He went 16 for 19. He only missed 3 shots on the night, had 11 assists and 7 rebounds. Biggest game for him of the season, which says a lot, because SGA has, you know, for all the dudes who are playing great this year, SGA is just playing like SGA. Very solid, very consistent, very MVP-like. But he probably don't care because he's got a ring, and that's the Oklahoma City Thunder now are looking at repeat. That's what they're looking at. So he's probably just like, all I want is another ring. But don't be shocked if you see this dude in the MVP voting again, because he is just silently doing what SGA does, and that is just dropping a lot of bombs and getting a lot of wins. Then on Thursday night, the Philadelphia 76ers took the Houston Rockets to overtime and got the win 128 to 122. Tyrese Maxey, he has been having a phenomenal year. He dropped 36 points and 10 assists. And Joel Embiid, haven't really discussed Embiid in about 2 years now because he's been injured for the most part, but he had himself a triple-double last night. He went 32 points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists on a huge, huge win from the Philadelphia 76ers. It was a back and forth, too. I mean, Maxey had 36 points, but guess what? Kevin Durant also had 36 points as well. It was just back and forth between the two of them. And it was really just the 76ers were able to walk away with the win in that one. Then the Denver Nuggets got a win over the Washington Wizards, 107-97. Watson had his biggest game of his career. He had 35 points and 8 rebounds. And Jamal Murray also dropped 24 points in this one. And then the stupid-ass Los Angeles Clippers took down my Lakers, 112-104 last night. Kawhi Leonard had 24 points. James Harden had 18 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds. And Zubac had 18 points and 19 rebounds. And a really mostly very suffocating win by the Clippers, which is just weird because they're not that good. Yeah, they're playing pretty decent right now, but come on, they're still the Clippers. The Lakers, they do not look good without Austin Reeves. We really, really, really need Reeves back. But, yeah, losing to the Clippers, just don't like seeing that. But that's just how it goes when you aren't playing that well. And it sucks because, like I keep saying about Luka, Luka is basically averaging a triple-double a night. It's crazy how great he's playing this season. He's playing at an MVP-caliber level. It feels like every single night he's dropping 30-plus points. But the wins are not translating. All right, so let's move on to my top five list this week. And since we have us Jared Stidham coming in at backup quarterback this week, he's got himself a tall task. He is not actually the first guy to do this, though. There's actually a couple of backup quarterbacks who have actually won Super Bowls backing up dudes. And some of them, they came in during the Super Bowl. Some of them, they came in like the week before the Super Bowl. Some of them, they came in the middle of the season. But I decided this week we're going to do my top five backup quarterbacks to win the Super Bowl. Because, you know, a lot of people are counting the Broncos completely out. And I look at that and I'm like, I know the quarterback is a big deal. But, you know, you remember last week I was telling you every quarterback except Sam Darnold turned the ball over last week. And Sam Darnold didn't have the greatest game ever. It's not like he blew anybody up. He didn't even have a touchdown. He barely had like 150 yards, I believe, passing. So it's not like he was the guy yesterday. It was just the defense and the ground attack were doing great. So I look at it and I go, yeah, Jared Stidham, huge task ahead of him. But lucky for him, he's got a great coach in Sean Payton. He's got a great defense behind him. I mean, this Denver defense is capable of scoring touchdowns. So Jared Stidham actually doesn't have to do a whole lot. And then on the offensive side of the ball, he's got a lot of weapons. He's got a lot of dudes to help him out. So, you know, I think it's doable. And it actually is doable. It's actually happened a few times, even more times than I'm about to say in this top five list. So let's get right into it on the top five backup quarterbacks to win the Super Bowl. Beginning at number five, I have Earl Morrill. In 1970, for the Baltimore Colts, he was backing up Johnny Unitas. And Johnny Unitas was actually knocked out of Super Bowl V in the second quarter with a rib injury. And Morrill had to come in and play. And not only did Morrill come in and play, they came in and beat my Dallas Cowboys. It is actually technically one of the ugliest Super Bowls of all time, just because it was one of those where it felt like nobody wanted to win. It was like a field goal fest. And just finally, the Colts were able to get a field goal, get the game-winning field goal, and get the win. But it was a very, very ugly Super Bowl. But guess what? Earl Morrill actually did this a couple other times as well. In Super Bowl III, he still played for the Baltimore Colts and backed up Unitas. And he had to come into Super Bowl III, but they did lose that one to the New York Jets. And then he also did it for, oh, shit, I think it was the Redskins. I should have written it down. I didn't write it down. But he did do it for another team. And I feel like it was the Redskins. I could be wrong, though. But he's done it before where he has gone in as the backup quarterback in another Super Bowl situation and went in and they won as well. So, you know, Earl Morrill, he's actually, if you don't know, Earl Morrill is actually a very solid quarterback for many, many years. He was actually the dude before Johnny Unitas for the most part. And he just was a very solid quarterback. But he is a backup quarterback who has actually come in on a few occasions and even won a Super Bowl. Then at number four, I'm going to drop five backup quarterbacks to win the Super Bowl. Jim Plunkett. In 1980, he was with the Oakland Raiders. And their quarterback, Mark Wilson, he got hurt in week 5. Now, when they signed Jim Plunkett, this was kind of like the end of Jim Plunkett's career. They didn't know if he was going to start. He might fight for a starting quarterback position, but chances are this was not going to be his team. He was really just going to come in and back up, and guess what? That's what he did, and he did a damn good job of it, especially in the 1980 season, in which the Raiders would end up going to the Super Bowl 15, and they would actually win that Super Bowl. And then actually in 1983, they would go to Super Bowl 13 as well, in which he would take over, but they did not win that one. But Jim Plunkett has done it a couple of times, and he did it most notably in 1980 for the Oakland Raiders. Then at number 3 on my top 5 backup quarterbacks to win the Super Bowl, this is probably one of the most famous ones, Jeff Hostetler. In 1990, he took over for Phil Sims of the New York Giants. Phil Sims got injured in week 15, so it was towards the end of the regular season, and Jeff Hostetler had to come in. Now, Jeff Hostetler, to me, is the perfect example of what would happen today with Stidham, is that he's taken over for a really solid team. I mean, this New York Giants defense was one of the best of all time. They had Lawrence Taylor on this team. So he was taking over a solid offense backed up by a solid defense. And so Jeff Hostetler came in. He came in week 15, and they would ultimately go on to Super Bowl 25 and ultimately go on to win Super Bowl 25. Then at number 2 on my top 5 backup quarterbacks to win the Super Bowl, this is also another famous one, and that is Nick Foles in 2017 with the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz went down in week 14. He tore his ACL, and Nick Foles also once again came in with a whole bunch of weapons, a great defense, and they would go on to beat the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52. And this would actually be the Philadelphia Eagles' first Super Bowl win of all time, the first in their entire franchise history. And then at number 1 on my top 5 backup quarterbacks to win the Super Bowl, Doug Williams. In 1987 with the Washington Redskins, he took over for starting quarterback Jay Schrader in week 18. So that's the wild card week. Or divisional round. I can't recall because it was the 80s, but regardless, he came in. And ultimately, he would not lose the starting job, and they would go on to Super Bowl 22. And not only would the Washington Redskins win Super Bowl 22, but the reason why I put this at number 1 is because this is the first time ever that a black quarterback would win the Super Bowl as well. So it was a huge historic moment, not only for just the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl, but also for Doug Williams because he was the first black quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl. All right, y'all, enjoy championship weekend, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.